There we go. We did it. And stopping subtitles seem to be off. All right. Do we have a scribe volunteer?
Yeah, I can scribe.
Great. Thank you, Russell. Today's interop, so let's start there. We're in interop pull requests. The first one is 628. That's for me. And what this does is update the recently received requirements from CPP. And I appreciate that your help on getting it to look a little bit nicer. So I merged that earlier today. Thanks for that. And Ori's comments as well. Patrick had some questions. To my knowledge, there is, I don't know if these requirements are available, anywhere in public. I know that all cohort members received them. Mahmoud. Mahmoud, did you queue? I guess not. You did? No, nope, we can't hear you. Let's see. Mahmoud, does anyone object to merging? Is that too soon, Mahmoud? If so, please note on the chat.
Hi. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, there you are.
Okay, sorry. I see that on the index.html file, the first of the four, there is a significant amount of things that are being removed, right?
Yes. Yes.
These are things like encryption at rest, key management, threat model, etc. I don't believe we've received any requirements that these should be removed, and I don't know why we're removing them. It says you're just removing them for clutter.
Yes.
But, I feel like these are important to have in general as security considerations for people to follow. Right.
Does it belong in this spec? That was my thinking. Wanted to try and trim it down to be what is actually what this spec is about.
Well, to me, this spec is about if you would like to be able to work with us and send data to us. This is a collection of really useful, important things that we recommend that you do. Something like if you don't use TLS and encryption transport or something like that, then it won't work, right? We will just not accept your stuff. We can't test, for example, for encryption at rest, but we can recommend that you should do that, right? So I feel like, yes, technically they are not a hard requirement. But I feel like they're a very good idea to keep in the actual spec.
That's fair. Any other opinions like this? I might have cut too deep. I'm not going to super defend that.
Here's a different question, actually. I seem to recall somebody mentioning at some point, every time you have a must statement in a specification, you need to be able to test for it. Is that an accurate statement, or is that something that I just misunderstood?
I would know.
It's possible to have a must without it being testable. It's not recommended.
So, for example, this encryption at rest must statement that says you must encrypt your, data at rest, right? Obviously, it's a really good idea to do that, and you should do it in this way, but we have no way of knowing that they are actually doing that, right?
I think that is correct. I think it is a thing that could be a must.
It is a must in the way we wrote it right now, right? It's the statement is any conforming system with a specification for interoperability must deploy the infrastructure in compliance with blah, 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 right? I feel like that should stay in, but I guess my question is there's no hard statement that says because it's a must, you need to be able to test it, right? Doesn't make it non-normative or anything like that. But,
right. That aside, why is storage part of a protocol? Like it's just not applicable here. That was my thinking about it.
Yeah, so encryption at rest, I can see it maybe not being relevant, but encryption in transit definitely should be, right? Because we definitely cover it. Something like key management, technically that shouldn't be, but we do want to be able to test rotating keys at some point, right? So I'm kind of torn on that as well.
Did I delete encryption in transit?
I believe you did. I believe you deleted.
Does not look like encryption in transit is deleted.
It's still there. Yeah, it's still there.
Is it? Okay. So maybe I just read that you deleted so much for some reason. Oh, you just deleted the encryption at rest and then under everything under that, right?
Yeah, it's right above.
Yeah. I see. Okay. I would rather we keep these in, to be honest, but. So the disaster recovery stuff, I don't know. I don't think we need to keep that in because we're not actually telling you how to do it, right? We're saying these are good ideas to do, but we're not going to test it. This is a spec for sending data between people. Disaster recovery shouldn't really factor into it. So that one definitely should go, right? The threat model, maybe that should stay. It's a non-normative section. It's tiny, and it says, you know, this is how... Well, actually, I don't know. It kind of says nothing, really. So, no, maybe I'll reverse myself and feel free to... Yeah, I don't think you cut too deep. I think I read that you cut too deep. Never mind then.
Okay. So are we good to merge?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Amazing. I sincerely just felt like this will clean it up. This will make everything much clearer what this is actually about. All right. I do appreciate that you call it out. I did feel like my knife was really sharp that day. All right, let's move on to merges. Then we do have 4 approvals, so it's formally all good. Any objections to merging 628, which primarily introduces CPP's requirements and also removes some of the stuff that's... Yes, Patrick, please.
Yes, just had a question regarding these requirements. A lot of them are items that were noted as post 1.0 release. So how will the inclusion of the requirements work with the current interoperability test suites and the release of 1.0?
I think you joined after I commented on your question.
I had a hard time to join at the beginning.
So first of all, I don't know if these requirements are available outside of the channel that the cohort members received them. So I don't know about that. But that's a really good question. My thought on that is that we need to update what version 1, like these are new requirements, that this is what we need to conform to.
Because for me, like the data model 2.0 is quite a substantial change and would affect, you know, many of the available schemas and so on. So like if all the current schemas are using 1.1, will they all need to be migrated, or if Is there going to be backward compatibility? Like, these are the sort of questions.
I don't think we mentioned using VC Data Model 2.0 in the requirements.
Yes.
Unless I'm missing something.
Yeah, it is 2.0.
It is 2.0. They mentioned the BitString status list, the JSON web token. Yeah. So these are all things that were, you know, they were discussed and were post 1.0. So, I just want to understand, like, how will these requirements evolve, or mostly how will the test suite evolve along with these requirements? If usually, like, the requirements come before test suites, or are we expecting a change in the test suites like shortly enough? And to my other question, there are already existing test suites for the data model 2.0, for example, which plug in into the VC API, which is what this spec is based on. And so will this group build their data model 2.0, client, like the Postman test suites again, or will they consider leveraging W3C, like existing W3C test suites, to avoid sort of duplicating test suites? Like, what's the same thing for like status lists, for example?
It seems really odd to be making fairly substantial alterations to conform to requirements that some of us can't see. I mean, we can't evaluate whether this change is doing what it's represented to do without knowing what it's supposed to do, if you know what I mean.
Yes, that's fair. I think Mahmoud is queued.
I go first, and then, so you had a response for that, yes? And then I'll go after if you'd like.
I was going to ask if any of, like, maybe the measure, if, do you know if these requirements are available anywhere online?
I know that they are not available publicly.
Okay.
I can't actually put them out in them. I know they are not publicly available. I know, Patrick, to answer your question, I think, broadly speaking, it's a direction question of, we have a bunch of existing tests. If I am complying with the tests today and these new requirements come in, what's going to happen to my compliance? Am I no longer going to be, like, it's going to cut me off and I'm not going to be working? I think that's question one from what I heard. And question two is, are we going to be reusing existing test suites, which would make everybody's life easier? And the answer, hint, hint, should be yes, right? And so for question one, we cannot tell you, like, we can't give you the raw form of the requirements publicly, point to a place where it's like, hey, that's where it is. To my knowledge, what NIST has produced is incredibly accurate to the requirements. And by to my knowledge, I mean, I've reviewed it, like, quite well. What I just didn't see was the 2.0 citation that he had. That one, I missed. I think maybe offline you and I can have a quick review, just because I'm not 100% sure that that was a hardcore requirement.
Okay.
But other than that one, everything else is one-to-one with exactly my understanding of the requirements. Now, what I think is a path forward is one of two ways. The first is we could cut the current test suite as a version and say, this is the test suite that we are able to test against for today, right? And then these requirements come in as new requirements powering for a new test suite. I believe that is probably the best way forward. That way you can indicate that, hey, I was compliant as of X time. We can take a final snapshot of everybody's compliance, something like that, and publish it at a specific point in time. I don't know how useful that's going to be for everybody, but it might be useful for some people who have contracts where they need to say, hey, you need to be compliant with this suite as of a specific point in time, right? The second approach would be to say what we've always been saying is that these tests are fluid and these tests reflect our best understanding of what we want to do within the ecosystem, and that we've always wanted to move to VC Data Model 2.0. We've always said we wanted to move to Status List 2021. These have not changed, right? What's changing now is we're saying we want to do them sooner rather than later, and they're just written as a concrete requirement, right? Everything else, to my knowledge, has already been implemented. Like the did core spec, we use it, trace vocab, trace API, we use it, did web, we use the documents as authoritative source submitted, like all of these requirements we are already using. The big changes are VC Data Model 2.0, signing with Jose Cose, and implementing Bitstring status list, right? Before today, these were not publicly concrete requirements that we had. So that's, I think, my answer to question one. To question two, which was, hey, the VC API is already able to reuse the data, VC data model tests. Why shouldn't you guys do the same? And I think the answer to that is we should do our best to do the same, right? If there's already existing tests that we can just run against and it would save us a bunch of time, great. The big issue with the VC data model tests is that they're all JavaScript tests, and everything here we have is our Postman tests, right? Everything here is run as a Postman, Newman, you know, as a Postman collection. And so they're not actually one-to-one compatible with the, I think they're using Jest or Milk. I honestly don't remember which one they're using on the VC data model test. So, that's the only wrinkle that I see, but we could do a thing where we just say that one of the things that we've always been clear about though is that we're not actually testing the VC data model itself in our traceability vocab tests, right? We've always said we're testing our traceability vocabulary specific terms, and we're testing our traceability vocabulary specific interactions. We're not testing how verifiable credential, like the terms are defined in the data model, right? We're not testing that. And so what we should focus on in the interop, and what we've been and we should continue doing, is focusing on how do we send these vocabulary terms between different parties. And that, to my knowledge, is only tested in the VC API. And those tests in the VC API, they have concretely different requirements than us, right? And that's why we can't just extend the VC API test as much as, you know, that would be nice. There are fundamental differences in what we are trying to do and what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, because when you look at the test, you have the conformance test suites and the interoperability test suites, which are two different things. I think the conformance test suites, they do test the data model with negative tests. And as interesting as they are, I think the most important part is interoperability. You know, can a credential issued by this implementation be verified by this other implementation? Same thing for credential status. I think that's where you're going to uncover most of the important issues. Like this thing, if you're conformant against yourself, it's good to know. But I think these sort of tests is where outside test suites could be leveraged, like the VC Data Model 2.0 test suite. It will make sure that your implementation is conformant with that specification. But I think there would be a lot more values if, like you mentioned, the test focus more on the exchange between two parties and making sure that one party can successfully verify the data that was issued by another party, which is in the sort of interop section.
Yeah. So I'm just going to queue up really quickly to clarify that NIST has pointed out where in the requirements that we reviewed that it is 2.0. So yes, it is confirmed that it is, like the requirements that we have received are 2.0. And to be honest, it's where we wanted to go in the first place. So I want to just drop that really quickly. Ted, I think you're next up.
Yeah, I'm still banging my head against making what we've got here conform with secret requirements.
We have three companies represented on this call that are under contract with the government. We're building this for the government. And we all say the same thing. Why? I don't think it's a secret, honestly. I think it's just not been shared yet publicly. I know that there are earlier drafts that are publicly available, but obviously that's not this.
Let me try and be more clear. The work of the CCG is entirely outside the bounds of CBP and this ridiculously secret cohort project. The thing is semi-public at this point, and either it needs to become public entirely, or it needs to not be banging on CCG. I have no problem with you cohort members doing cohort projects, but they are distinct from the work of non-cohort members. Until and unless the cohort project becomes a thing that we can access.
That's fair. Sorry, Patrick, you're on cue. Go ahead. And then I'll respond to you.
Sorry. Yeah, I just wanted to, because I remember, like, at the beginning, you know, I had the comment that the traceability was sort of perceived as the U.S., you know, system of doing interoperability. And the answer was clearly that, no, you know, this is a more global standard for people to do supply chain. But, you know, when the requirements come very clearly from CBP, for me, it's sort of reinforcing the fact that this is the U.S. system to do supply chain.
So that it says, if you look at the acknowledgments, it says clearly it's no secret that this is done for the U.S. government.
Yeah.
All right.
A couple of things I'm going to respond to really quickly. While they have funded us to work on this and other work, that does not mean that they have any form of control over this work. At the end of the day, these are things that everybody on this call has a say over, and everybody on this call can say, hey, I don't like any of these and we're not going to include them, right? That's just fair. One of the things that I want to be clear though is if you look at the actual concrete requirements themselves, these are all things that we have previously agreed to do. And I don't believe any one of these is a thing that we have said no to in any way, shape, or form, right? So what it does is it just reframes them as a list straight up. But if you will find every one of these things somewhere in either our issues where we've discussed it and we've said, hey, we want to do this, or in our conversations where we've said we want to do this, or in the spec itself where we've already said these are things like we said we're going to be using the VC data model, right? We said we're going to be using 2.0 when we think it's ready. We said we're going to be using BidWeb. We said we're going to be using Trace API. We said we're going to be using Trace Vocab, BidString Status. That's all of these things. I can't point to a single requirement, quote unquote, that you see here that is a net new thing. But I hear your concern where you're thinking, what happens if next week they come in and they say, there's a hardcore requirement that every person who uses this, API must pay specific royalties or must do specific things or some insane thing that is completely counter ethical to the CCG or counter ethical to the type of work that we do here.
I'm going to just interrupt you because I do unfortunately need to drop now. I hope that you guys can stay on the call. I hope you can get this to close. Please feel free.
If not, I will restart the call right after this.
All
right.
Okay. See you next week. Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Looks like it worked. So to me, it is not great, but all of these requirements are things that we have been, like, I think the flow of requirements came the other way, right? Like, yes, these are the final concrete versions that we have been provided with, but we are the ones who are fighting for these specific requirements, right? And everybody that you, like, and the we are people that are regulars on this call, right? It's not something like, these are crazy people who have not been here before. So to me, I don't want this work item to be a US only work item. I want this work item to be if any other entity believes that there needs to be added requirements, then they should be able to argue for those requirements on their merits. I don't believe these requirements should be included because they are told to us by CBP. That is not a thing that we should operate under. That's not a way we should work. So I completely wholeheartedly agree with you, Ted, on that point. I think it should very much be a question of, does this requirement have merit? Do we all agree to it? Does it make sense? Yes or no? And those requirements, as I see them, all of them, are ones that we've already agreed to make sense, right? And to give you a final, like, to cap off what I'm trying to say, if an entity comes in that is not CBP, that is a different government entity or a different organization or a different whatever, and they come in and they say, hey, by the way, I really think there should be this brand new requirement and we all think it makes sense and CBP doesn't, then it will make its way into the spec. That's just, this is not the CBP specification. This is our spec and it will not become the CBP specification. So if I were opening this PR, I would not frame it in the this is CBP's requirement updates. And I don't know if we mentioned the word CBP in the spec at all. We shouldn't. But yeah, that's really what I'm trying to say. I think Patrick, you're next and then Ted, you're after.
Yeah. So just for me, it's not the what's the problem because these are all well-known standards that are relevant and they will come eventually. It's more the how that it was brought up. Like as far as I know, this pull request was open a week or 2 weeks ago, and these are quite substantial changes. And these elements, like you mentioned, they were already thought about being implemented at some point. It's just that now they will be merged as requirements in the spec that you need to implement. That there's no test yet written for them. And if as you get more actors, if I call it so, getting involved with the traceability to within 2 weeks to impose these changes, I think it's very quick and I'm not sure how reasonable it can be, especially if you have governments that start to be involved in this. I have no problem with the content and it's things that I'm excited about. And yes, we want to move towards this. It's just, I think to put these as requirements in a week and a half times, it seems a bit abrupt, you know, like maybe they could be included as this is where we are going. These will be the next step that we're going to put it, but still keep the requirements as what they are now since, you know, all the test suites, they're all coordinated. It works. You have the matrix. And then once you have the test in place to meet these requirements and evolve, then you can say like, these are now the requirements of the spec. For me, it's just the how quickly these came into play. And yeah, that's all. That's just my own point
Thank
of
you.
View.
Ted?
All right. So, starting point for me is to change the title of this PR to something that reflects more of its functional justification. CBP is not mentioned in the acknowledgements. That's the DHS SVIP, right? And even that should not be a black box from which we have mysterious requirements that require this significant deletion of chunks of stuff that was work. I don't necessarily have a problem with removing the things that are being removed by this PR. I haven't gone over it with a fine-tooth comb. I'm not sure of what it's changing.
Sorry, I'm going to interrupt you really quickly, if you don't mind. The removals are not part of the requirements or quote-unquote anything like that. These are just NIST trying to clean up. These are, like, this is a PR that's doing two separate things. The requirements that we're all talking about, these are only in the mandatory to implement algorithm.html file. Everything else is NIST cleaning up the spec from in general, right? That's why I was like confused at the very beginning of the call. This is really two separate things that are being done in the PR.
So that should be, that should be two PRs then.
Yeah, and I'll split it up. Yeah.
Good. I mean, yeah. The size of this, the scope of this, makes it impossible to evaluate, to understand what it's doing, especially with the title that it has and no ability to see what those actually are and whether they even came from CBP. Right? That should probably be invisible to us as well. If anything, it should say SVIP. But even that is problematic,
mm-hmm.
right? The SVIP is paying some percentage of your salary to do work on this thing. It's not paying any of my salary to do work on this thing.
Right.
But that shouldn't make it so that I can't see. Yeah. Black box organizations should be invisible.
Yes.
Their impact here should not be known, but I really hope that any of their impact that happens is actually justified technically.
Yes. So would it be okay for me to walk through the requirements one by one just for now, just to make sure that we all understand what we're trying to do? Because I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think there is a problem with the framing of this. I will update the PR name. I will split the changes into two separate PRs, right? One will be the updates to remove to clean up the existing pieces, and one will be the quote unquote requirements. What I want, does that sound fair? First of all,
That will help for sure.
Okay.
If I understand what you're saying, I don't think that we need to actually go through the list items are under the H3 requirements.
Okay. Because
if I understand correctly at this moment, the SVIP requirements list is this. This is the requirements list.
Yes.
Okay.
And if you notice, every single one of these is already things that we are doing. All it's saying is use the latest version of it. Really, what this PR is doing is saying, for example, use the latest version of the VC data model, or use the latest version of the VC Jose Cozy spec. Don't use the outdated LD proofs Jose one that I can't, JSON WebString 2020, or whatever it was called, right? Don't use revocation list, use bitstring status list, because that's the latest one. Really, all of these quote-unquote requirements are saying is use the latest version of the publicly available drafts that are already out there, that everybody's already agreed to use as your baseline. Don't use outdated ones. And so I'm going to reframe this PR in that light, because to me, that's really what this PR is trying to do. It's trying to say, this is the line in the sand where we really shouldn't be using old stuff. We should really make sure that we update it. to use the latest stuff. And to address Patrick's issue, I suggest that we include this as a V1.1 or something like that, where the existing requirements stay the same. And these are the things that we are testing today. And if anybody wants to keep running the old, quote unquote, old tests, they can keep running with them. And then as we build out the new tests, right? So these will not be current requirements. These will be aspirational requirements or something like that, where things we want to do, but we cannot do right now, or we can't test right now. Does that sound fair? I'm sorry, Patrick, I think you're up next.
Yeah, that sounds fair. And two other things, like, I think there should also be a section about backwards compatibility, because as much as, yes, you need to use data model 2.0, there's, I'm pretty sure there's a substantial amount of credentials already issued that use not 2.0 model. And, you know, whoever is interoperable with the spec should support both. So I think backward compatibility is something that should be addressed somewhere in the specification. My second comment is just regarding the removal of the selective disclosure section as a whole, joined with this PR. Was that based on these requirements, or what's the reason to remove selective
disclosure? I think that was Nesquenov.
Okay.
That section, by the way, if you read it, all it says is we are considering different drafts and we're waiting until they're mature, et cetera, et cetera. Once okay. They're mature, we'll use one of them, right? Like it was a wishy-washy section that says, honestly, there's nothing stable yet. Once it's stable, we'll use one, and selective disclosure is a good idea in general, blah, 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 right? So I think what NIST is trying to do was first take all the wishy-washy language, which was, we really can't test this, right? Like there's no test for when we know it's ready, we'll use it, right? But, or test for, as he was saying, encryption at rest, that kind of stuff. But he was keeping all the things that were testable. And I think that's a good goal to have. And I think that PR nobody has any issues with. Is that a fair statement? The like remove non-testable statements and include.
I mean, I think selective disclosure always has a place, at least for a mention. Because they are privacy consideration to be evaluated at, you know, anytime VCs are involved. Maybe it doesn't apply to 90% of the case, but there will be cases, you know, for the need for privacy, especially when you work with governments and there's lawyers involved and there's, you know, so I think removing it entirely, I'm not sure. You know, I think there should be a section about selective disclosure, even if it just says, you know, it's under evaluation or something. But
at a minimum, it should be a non-normative section. It should be clear that it's not, like, it should be clear that this is just for information only and that we're still making a decision that we don't know. So I'm with you. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Is there a reason this doesn't get piped through PR preview?
I think PR preview is just broken for us. I don't remember why, but we fixed it once, it got rebroken, and then, you know, because I don't think any of them are going through PR preview. Yeah, none of them are.
I'm looking right now, like, at the privacy considerations. You know, I think this is it's pretty empty right now, 12 privacy consideration, maybe. This is where the current state of selective disclosure stuff could live, you know, a small paragraph to this effect saying.
Yeah. So there's a lot of work to be done in those areas, right? And I'm with you, but I think that makes a lot of sense. So I think that was Nissa's first instinct, right? Maybe he was taking out too much. So what I'll do is I'll take it to myself to split this into two separate PRs. One that outlines this new idea of we need to sync to what the latest versions of the specs that people are using are, right? Like, we're still using Revocation List 2020, and that's been dead since 2020, I think. Like, it's been marked as deprecated, please don't use, since 2020, right? And that's pretty wrong, right? We really should be updating it. And we've always said we want to update it, but we're waiting to make sure that it, like, it gets there yet, right? What this PR is saying is, hey, we think it's there yet. We should, it's there now. We should go, right? So what what I'll do is I'll split into two separate PRs and I will include justifications for every one of these requirements from my point of view, and we can argue them on the merits. And if anyone does not like that, then, you know, we can argue that one. Sorry, go ahead.
Could you make it three PR, just put the selective disclosure privacy and its own PR, and then a PR for just, you know, removing white space and stuff like this?
Absolutely.
And I can take on the, or, you know, make an issue for it. I can take on the selective disclosure stuff.
Sounds good. Ted?
Yeah, I'm just looking deeper at what exists in this current PR. And there are two substantial change suggestions that I had built out based on comments from Ori, both in the requirements list as it exists and in the references section up above. As I understand it, this update was intended to peg the interop spec to conform to specific versions of these other specs, i.e. date peg versions. It doesn't do that right now. My change suggestions did do that. My change suggestions also, in the requirements list, would have shown the actual title of the referred spec, plus a link directly to that referred spec, plus a link to the references section of our spec that gives you that full citation. But these have not been applied.
These should be applied, and I think they do make sense.
They're marked as resolved. So, I mean...
Yeah. No. So... How can I, so if I just unresolve them and merge it in, would that work? Cause it's not letting me come, yeah, I think it's not letting me commit because it was, Mark was resolved. And I think he assumed that he did include it. Which is, I'm assuming is a good faith error on Nissa's part. Oh, it's also, it's cause it shows it's outdated. I unresolved it, Ted. And it's saying that it's outdated and it won't let me commit the suggestion either way. I think it's just a GitHub thing, and he assumed that it was merged in for whatever reason. Yeah.
Oh, this is ridiculous. Yeah, GitHub is being stupid. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't think, I think this is just a good faith error. On
no, it's GitHub screwing things up, and so making me think that other things didn't happen. Because when you click on the commit, it doesn't show that things have happened. But if you just look at the files changed, it does.
Okay.
Oh, there are days.
Yeah. So what I'll do is I'll fork off of this PR. I will revert the changes that removed the... informative, like the cleanups, right? I will keep the rest of the changes, which is the requirements, and we can discuss the requirements on their merits one by one. And I'll remove all references to CBP because that obviously doesn't belong here. And then I'll open a second PR that does not touch selective disclosure, and it will remove a bunch of extraneous things that we think, you know, is outdated or anything like that. Or maybe I'll ask Nis to redo that or something like that. And then, Patrick, I will ask you to open a third PR that is entirely aimed at cleaning up the selective disclosure section. Is that a fair ask?
Yeah, that's when I'll open an issue and then link a PR to it.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, let's leave it at that, and let's come back and let's keep going, right? Next up is 629. This is a PR opened by Patrick. It relates to the interoperability report currently tests revocation. It has some changes requested. So what does this say? At first, it's changing the NPX Newman test.
Yes. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I was a bit confused by Ari's comment. So there was a thread about replacing revocation list 2020 with status list 2021. In the current test suites and the conformance test suite, there is test for both. And the interrupt test, there is also test for both. However, the sort of GitHub actions, you know, test execution only tests revocation 2020. It doesn't test status list 2021, although there is existing test for it. Because I would very much like to just drop support for revocation 2020 without having a big section of red X's, you know, on the report just for reasons. Yeah. But according to Ori's comment, the credential status update wouldn't work, as an interoperability test. So I haven't had time to really look to why. I thought it would, but maybe I'm wrong. So.
I haven't seen Ori's comment of why it wouldn't, would or wouldn't. So, as a general idea, it's funny because the previous PR directly says use status list 2021. That is the new requirement that everybody would be happy with and we'd all want it, right? And we've all been wanting to say, let's go to status list 2021, let's stop using revocation list 2020. So I think we're all on that page. Ori's saying until that PR is merged, don't test for status list 2021 because the current text says status list 2020. So I don't agree with that interpretation in general because I think we have a clear direction and this is a test that's clearly improving the test suite and making sure that we test what we want to do. So that part I understand.
I don't understand what this CBP requirements update has to do with this at all.
Well, the only thing is that there's currently no requirement anywhere in the spec that says use status list 2021. Right?
Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
Where?
If
there is, then it...
Well, like, I put it in comment. Any system conforming to the specification must support status list 2021. The link is dead. The link should be updated because it links to a 404, but the text is there. In the spec.
Okay, then we should do that then. Then we should test for it and our interop should test against 2021, right?
But what I don't understand is he mentions, as you can see from, there's more work to do in order to support interop tests. But I'm not sure what he is referring to. When
I don't know either. So I'm looking at that one. Have you run this test?
Yes.
And
well, I've run it as it against myself, and it's basically exactly the same thing as revocation 2020. It's just, you know, uses the status purpose and whatnot.
Okay. So maybe reply to a comment to that comment because I don't, I'm with you. I don't see what's the issue about, like, this looks straightforward to me. The credential status update tutorial looks...
Yeah, I don't see the difference between this and the revocation test, for example, which to me, like, they're both functional tests. It's just about which one is included in the GitHub actions.
Yeah. And so I don't see that being an issue at all. So, I think you're right here. I think maybe he's trying to say something that we're missing. So what I would do is I wouldn't just merge it on top of his objections. I'd just ask him to clarify exactly what he's trying to say. And also point out Ted put a link in the chat to directly where it says status list 2021 is a requirement that's already in this spec. So I think you could put that in and then ask him to clarify why that wouldn't. But I think it, I think from everything that I can see today, this PR is ready to merge. So okay. Maybe just follow up with him.
We'll just clarify a few points and then.
Yeah. Can go. Yeah. We have 5 minutes left. I'm going to hopefully go through the last PR and hopefully this is a quick one.
Sorry, just.
Yes.
Along with that, I don't, it might be a bit bold, but could we also just remove revocation 2020 tests?
Do we have any requirements in the spec text that says 2020?
And I would be more talking about the conformance tests here.
Yes. I don't believe we have any place in the spec text where we say we must use revocation list 2020. And I'm control F-ing and I don't see any references to 2020 at all. So I feel like you can remove that because it's not in our test, like in our spec at all, right?
Okay. I will do that in a separate PR. So let's first, you know, resolve this, merge it, make sure the tests are still running fine, and then raise the topic of removing the revocation 2020 conformance test.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, it's just annoying to support both.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. The next thing to review is PR 630, which is the last thing we're going to be reviewing today, which is remove negative tests for context object items. This is by you, and it says these two tests are contradiction with the VC 1.1 data model spec. Right? And can you walk me, walk us quickly through them?
Yeah, so there's just, it's really simple. There's two tests that will make sure that you don't use an add vocab object in your context. However, in the data model spec, this is permitted. I know the traceability vocab itself, well, the traceability, context has a vocab attribute. The specific requirements I have for this is relating to the anoncreds and W3C format. If you use the 1.1 spec, they do require the use of an add vocab, for anoncreds issuer dependent, attributes. So it's just, you know, it's just the one negative test that prevents this. I was just wondering if it was there for a specific reason or if it could be removed.
Chris?
So I can comment on this one. Just to clarify, the intention of the test isn't specifically to prevent you from using add vocab. That was just a handy, otherwise valid object. The test is confirming that you don't use objects in here because our schema currently defines add context as an array of strings. So if we want to change that, we must change the schema first and then modify the tests so that they test against the schema.
And another issue I have with it's like a sub-issue. So like the PyLD library, which is a JSON-LD processing library, it won't go fetch the add vocab in an existing context to apply it to the VC, if that makes sense. So if I try to compact or expand a VC that needs an add context and the add context is held within a context URL, it will pick up missing definitions, which is like a test in the it's more a bug in the library itself. So it needs to have the vocab object like on the first, like in the context of the credentials. That's just another sort of detail.
Chris? Anything?
My comments were only for clarification. I'm not necessarily against this, but if we want to remove this test, we need to first modify the schema because the purpose of the test is to test against the schema.
I agree with that. So basically what you're saying is a concrete change request. If you would like to make, so these tests are today checking the schema. If you're making a statement that the schema is wrong for the VC data model, the way we're looking at it, let's update that and then update the test as well. Otherwise, we're just removing valid tests for a valid schema, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, correct. If we were to simply change, remove these tests, we would no longer be testing against our schema, and non-conformant items would be permitted.
And that's a fair ask, I believe. Patrick, Fed is asking in the comments, does this have any impact on BCDR model 2.0?
Yeah, I'm replying right now, and the quick answer is just no. So for the context in 2.0, it's exactly the same thing. It says the subsequent items of the array must be composed of any combination of URLs and or objects.
Okay. That's the snippet that should go into the comment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm replying to the comment right now.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone. This was very useful, and we'll talk again soon. Have a great rest of your day.
Bye.
See you.